Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our Survivor 43 episode 12 predictions and power rankings. And today, finally, we have made it work. We've tried numerous times and just could not work it out between the three of us. But we have Tiffany Seely from Survivor 41 on the podcast here to break down the final six of Survivor 43. Tiffany, thank you for joining. Glad we were able to persevere and get this done. How are you feeling about this season?
I'm feeling great. First of all, that was really kind of you. It wasn't Phil nor Alexa's fault that my computer and phone were acting up. It was actually all me. It was the technology was having a problem with me, but now we're here. 43, I'm really, really liking it. I'm liking it a lot more post-merge than I was pre-merge. I felt like it was a little bit slow pre-merge. I don't know if it was that I'm so used to new, like kind of like the new format now that it's sort of like kind of just storytelling and not too much action. I felt like a lot of them are really nice. There's not a whole lot of villain energy. I mean, now I feel like we're getting a little more. But that being said, they have so many diverse and great characters that I think that once we got into the swing of it and now that we're post-merge and now down to the final six, I'm enjoying it a lot. I think the last few episodes were awesome. So
I get where you're coming from, because the past few seasons have, like your season, we didn't know what was happening. And now it's a little bit, yeah, I get that. And now it's a little bit of like, oh yeah, they have to say something or do something weird. And then they get an idol out of it. And there's three people with idols.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I was just talking about how, like, I did the podcast with Rob, and I was saying, it's so funny now that we're so used to having like the Beware Advantage, and now, you know, knowledge is power. So now it's like, okay, so who has it? Because we know the person who has it doesn't have it. They gave it to somebody else. So it's like a little bit predictable in that way, which is, you know, what Survivor likes to do. You know, they get used to doing something. They don't like to throw anything out. And then like, so I feel like we're really starting to kind of predict what's happening or what's going to happen next. But hopefully we won't be able to do that this week, but let's see.
Yeah. And it's fun to talk about that from the grand scale, right? Because I feel like 41 was trying to be different than what the first 40 seasons were. And then 42 was just a carbon copy of 41. Right. And now 43, they've at least gotten rid of the Sydney twist. Yeah. Thank you. That one. And they've at least gotten rid of that. But everything else we were talking about, if you're at final 10, you know, you're splitting up. If you're at final 11, you like, it's starting to get easy as a player to know when these things are going to happen. And how do you think Survivor is going to do that again? Like, do you think final 10, 5-5, that's how it's going to be from here until eternity, or what's going on?
No, I don't think that they'll, I think they're funny with that stuff. I think they're quicker to maneuver and change it when it comes to that, because we sit and wait. Like, I remember when we were on the island and we anticipated merch coming, and then we anticipated. And I remember the last day that we were like, oh, we're definitely going to merch, and we didn't go. And I remember sitting there, we sat there all day. I think the videographers were probably like, look at these stupid fools sitting here. We were like this, we were all envisioning food and like it was going to be merch. We were so excited. We're talking about it, and then it never happened. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, you know, they like to catch, like they like to sort of trick you somehow so that it's not so predictable mm-hmm. for the players, because that really throws a wrench into like the whole thought process, which is, I mean, the thought process is pretty low level when you're out there and you're really working on nothing. Like, I thought I was a genius out there. I come home and I'm like in bed sometimes. I'm like, why didn't I do that? That was the easiest mm-hmm. thing to mm-hmm. do. And it didn't even cross my mind. I'm like, mm-hmm. and you think you're really operating like, you know, superstar level, and you're just really not. No matter what you do, you're not.
Mm-hmm. I like that you say that. No one really talks about the like brain fog that you have out there. Or like you come home and you're like, I'm so much smarter now that I have food in my belly.
Oh my God. It was like immediate. It was like the minute you fed me something, it was like, why the frick didn't I didn't use mm-hmm. my shot in the dark. I knew it was on the table. Like mm-hmm. I didn't even remember I had it. Nobody it wasn't even like, hey, you know, this is your last time, you can use your shot. Nobody said anything to me, and I walked out with the freaking shot in the dark and my thing. And after that whole maneuver of everything that happened, I knew that it was going to be real close. And like mm-hmm. my vote was probably not going to mean anything. I don't know that I would have used it anyway, but like the thought process when you come home and you're eating and everything's normal, you're like, I should have used it. I would have used mm-hmm. it. But yeah. I didn't know I had it, you know?
Yeah. They're not really reminded. I feel like the players are not reminded that they have it. Like even this season, yeah.
He's not really doing it. He does it once in a while. So like you start to wonder like, hey, Jeff, did you want me out? Is mm-hmm. that why you didn't remind uh-huh. me?
Like, definitely, right?
Shocked as I was that what was happening that during that vote. Yeah. But yeah, so you're not really reminded as much. And it's also, it was new for us. So we weren't even really thinking about it. And then this season, I feel like they're like, oh, I'm not, you know, they're weighing it out. You can see in confessionals, they're like, I'm going to use my shot in the dark. Sammy, I think, said he's going to use the shot in the dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, again, there's that predictability or them knowing at least what they need to do. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it is just really as far as like splitting at 10 and things like that. I don't know if they'd be so, you know, like if that's the hill they're going to die on. You know, I don't think so. I think that they would change it up. I think you'll see a little difference every season.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this season we did get the really small difference that nobody really talked about, which was Dwight made the merge at 11th right. or at 12th, but didn't actually make the jury. So the merge happened 1 week sooner than it had in your season and than it had in 42. So at least there's a little bit going on, but I agree. Like when you start talking about, we know that these advantages are going to be out there because they haven't really come up with a new advantage, right? This one last week with Cody was a new advantage, but we'd seen a pick your champion type thing in the past, yeah. just not to this level. So how are they going to be able to mix this up? Everybody always talks about like a back to basics. I don't think they'll ever do that, but this would be a perfect time. You're going into 45. To just remove so many things, and people are going to expect them to be out there, that they're going to play as if they're out there anyway.
Right. So that's the thing. That's what's so interesting about Survivor. So this is another thing I was saying on the podcast the other day. Like, so when I was out there and I didn't know what was going on, clearly, remember, I was like, oh, what if it's active? But what if it is, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was thinking like that. Like, we may not know that there is something that you think you know everything that's going to happen. And she's like, I saw it. But I was like, but still, what if there's something else? And that was what I was trying to convey. But I was so like, not on my A game in my brain that I wasn't mm-hmm. like even saying it right. And of course they chopped it up and edited it the way it makes me sound like a fool, which is fine because it's cool. I'm kind of a fool anyway. But that was the point. Like, I was already thinking like, okay, you all think you know what you're doing, but what if it's different? And mm-hmm. so now I feel like there's like this double backing, like, you know, they're like, okay, this is the plan, but just in case this is not the plan and he has this, we're going to do this. And then they're like, then they're going back on it just in case it's back to the normal way. And it's like, you're starting to see them waver between what they think might be happening. And so it's causing a little bit more doubt in decision-making versus, okay, this is definitely the vote. And also the people at this stage trying to make big moves, you know, well, mm-hmm. maybe we'll get this person out now instead. Mm-hmm. So you have that combination of not knowing what's going to happen, thinking you know what's going to happen, and then what truly is happening. and the paranoia. So, you know, you're bound to get something exciting out of it. It's just when does CBS decide to say, okay, we're gonna do it this way this time, and and it's luck. A lot of it is luck, and I mean, it comes down to luck. A lot of times, I tried to say that when I was out there. I'm like, this is like got to be really lucky. Like,
who picks it really is, off,
right?
Yeah, because like, you can't you don't pick your starting time. There's so much you don't pick out there. Right. So I agree with you. I think it's so much luck. How does it feel to be like part of the original group that vanquished the Knowledge is Power, and now everybody like hates it even more? It's really cool to see like how much they keep trying to bring it back and how much they keep stopping it. And that was because of what you guys did.
Yeah. So, you know, I watch it and I'm like, we made a really good move with that. Like, that was a really good move. That was like one, we thought we made like the move of the season, you know, give it to her. No, give it to me. And then like, I don't know, watching it now, it's like a little anticlimactic, but like, I'm like, oh, that, all right, we pioneered that one. But it's like, I mean, there's always the first, right? I just think we're aging well. I feel like people hated it, like the season, they were like, oh, I hate this, I hate that, I hate this. And now I feel like people are going back and going, 41 was really good. Like, once you knew and you expected the format, go rewatch it again and think of it as we had no freaking clue what the hell was happening. And I had absolutely no clue what was happening. And to begin with, and at the end of the day, like, I feel like we actually did a really good job and the season was really good versus now the season is really good, but you're sort of expecting it. And the characters, I feel like we had everything to make an incredible season, and that new thing messed it all up.
The fact that it was the hourglass, and I say this every time and I just scream it from the mountaintops, but the fact that the hourglass was decided by the eventual winner of the season really does ruin so much of the post-merge, because you're sitting there with a huge asterisk the whole time. And it's really hard to get that out of your head. And I think that's what hurt it. And then 42 was more forgiven. And if they would have brought it back for 43, I think people would just turn off the TV as soon as they heard the word hourglass. Yeah. But I do think that that hurt your season. And with 43 right now, I don't really think that there's anything that's hurting this season, right? It's why with Pearl Islands, everybody loves Pearl Islands, but there is that moment where Lil and Burton come back in the game that kind of makes you roll your eyes a little bit, especially since Lil and Burton go really far in the game after they come back in.
Right.
And it's the same thing with your season. 43 is, it feels much more like a natural, easily regular evolving season of Survivor. And I think that's why people are jumping on so much. Even though at the beginning, people absolutely hated this season and there was nothing it could do right. Now I feel like it's done almost a full 180. And with this final six, especially, I think it's really hard not to like this season.
Right. I agree with you. And I think what I was saying is like, it's like they're letting the players play a little bit more. And it's almost like the final six. I feel like anybody can win it and I'd be kind of okay with it. Do I have my favorites? Definitely. Do I have people who I think, you know, should win it more? But it's very natural. There was some organic like playing. And I feel like we're just all invested now, where in past seasons, I feel like I'm only invested in like a few people. And now I feel like it's like everybody. I'm like, oh my, like, you know, I mean, I was super upset that Noelle got voted off because I like,
that was a huge bummer.
I was like, I'm like, how do you vote this girl off? Like, give her one more day. Like, that was epic. But I guess if you go out, you go out in a high and that's great. But, you know, I feel like this is just a very well-rounded story group and season now. Like in the beginning, I was having a tough time with it. I felt like it was slow. I felt like, what were we seeing? I don't even know what I was seeing. Like, what I felt like I didn't know, even know how to explain those first few episodes. Like, what happened? I don't know. It was weird.
And yeah, they did feel more like individual rather than like a story.
Exactly. It did feel like that. And to the credit of this season as well, the challenges are like my dream challenges.
They're great challenges.
They're so awesome. It's like when you're sitting on your couch and you want to play, those are the challenges you want. You don't want to be freaking crossing a line in the midair and swinging like a monkey from side to side. Like, you know, like, why is that fun? You know, I just feel like the challenges they brought back are just, you can do so much with past Survivor stuff, even in the new era, that you're going to go so hard and having a new era bring back like really amazing challenges. And I think they did a really good job with that.
How would you have done at the breathing under the great one last week. I would immediately quit. There's no way I could do that.
Oh, no. I'm not, water in me is fine. It's balance beams that I struggle with, clearly. But I don't know how I would have done, because I feel like if I could have gotten past that first panic phase where, you know, like you're trying to rhythm your breathing and gotten into like the zone, I might have done okay. But it's really hard to know until you're at like really in the physical position. Cause I'm pretty physical. I take challenges. I do all kinds of shit, like crazy stuff. And like those challenges, I cannot explain it more. I know so many people have said it. It is a different thing. Like, so you look at it and you're like, oh, that I could do that. Cause like my initial, when you asked me, Alexa, I would be like, yeah, I would do really good in that. Mm-hmm. But like, then I'm like, well, you know, I thought that too, like, I used to take gymnastics. How embarrassing is that? Yeah. Like, and I thought like, oh, balance beam, no problem. But you're in the middle of the water. It's moving like crazy. That water is rough. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing. And the nausea of being like this the whole time. Like, ugh. I know, like you, there is so many elements there that you just can't even think about as watching it. But I know that they were going through. I think she said she felt like she was tripping when she was done. She
yeah.
Was like, I bet.
Right. So like, I think I would have done okay. Do I think I would have lasted 3 hours? I don't think so.
No. And so you're an old school fan, right? Like you're an old school Survivor fan. What did you think about the fact that they gave immunity to both and didn't run some sort of tiebreaker?
I was really, I think it's one of those situations where they were so floored at the amount of time. And I think the production people were probably ready to die because they were probably supposed to be done like 2.5 hours earlier.
Yeah.
And I think they just didn't expect that to happen. That's like, I don't think they went through the playbook and went, what if they both last for over 3 hours and the tide goes down? Like, I don't think that comes into play because, yeah, it's never happened. So like, I think he had to make a game decision, and I was okay with it because I feel like they were both like going to go strong for a long time. And that's the initial challenge. So then you give them a new challenge, and then it poses the, is it fair for him? Is it fair? It was a girl and a guy. It's kind of like really difficult.
That's a good point. They probably, like you said, they Jeff, you could tell Jeff was shocked and confused that they made it that far.
Listen,
they can't redo the tides.
You can't redo that. And it's not like, and they both were fairly there. And all I could think of was, did those players check under the bench that are sitting there for 2.5 hours?
I know, right?
I'm telling you, if I went back tomorrow and played, I guarantee you I would forget to check. Guarantee you.
I bet, yeah.
You just don't, you just don't think like it's, you think you're going to think like that and you don't. But for them to sit out there and have to watch that for two.
That's not fun.
Sounds awful.
In the sun.
Yeah.
You have no idea. So like they should have also got immunity, but we're not going to go.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, I as an old school fan, I mean, they both get immunity, but like, again, in our season, you win, you lose, you lose, you win because of the hourglass. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know.
I will take this over that for sure. I just think it's crazy that in a challenge where you're also giving Cody a chance to get immunity for doing nothing, to then give away two immunities is tough.
Mm-hmm. And that was the thing, that whole thing with Cody, like, he didn't even have to hope that anybody won, because the truth is nobody, it's not revealed. So it's like, why even
we had immunity. Him?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
So like, that's another thing that they need to rethink, because it was like, well,
who's going to take a chance on this guy? All he has to do is say to you, yeah, this is who I picked. Like, you're not going to vote for him.
Right. And even if they did reveal it, it's like, okay, so maybe, you know, like it's very, maybe they're lying. Maybe they're not. I don't know. It's a very weird thing. I felt like it was like one of those things where like he won immunity too, and you had three people that were immune at this, which final changed seven. The game. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, and there's like nine idols floating around too. Like, so it's very tight.
Right. We had figured it out on the last episode. And I know it was me and McKenna actually, but we talked about it, how there were three idols, three people safe, and Sammy had a shot in the dark.
Right.
What do they do then? Jeff go home? Like, that's it. Like, what do you do?
Yeah. What do you do? It's like throw the towel in.
Yeah.
Again, it's luck. You're really just rolling the dice. Like, let's see who doesn't play what and who doesn't. But again, it's the same thing. So like, this is just to that point in old school Survivor or any Survivor, when you have an injury and somebody goes out, well, that fricks up the whole night too. Like, in a good way, because you're like, oh, yay, nobody has to go home tonight. But like, it's sort of the same idea because, you know, he's safe and then you're all safe because that person went out that night. So it's like, I don't know. I think it's just part of the game. You can rip it apart all day long and it's never going to be equally fair. And it's never going to be everything we all love. So
I'm looking at the comments here, and this isn't exactly what it's in relation to, but something that they could have done because they had it for one season and they got rid of it was the fire tokens. If fire tokens were still a thing, that could be an automatic tiebreaker, essentially, where it's like, hey, you have, okay, whoever has more fire tokens pretty much gets this because you've been playing the social game or whatever. Like, and that can be known ahead of time that by getting these fire tokens, tiebreakers kind of go in your favor when it's not a vote or something like that. Like, yeah, that could be a reason to use them again.
That is a good, that's a good point. The only thing I would say about fire tokens at this point now is there's so many things floating around and all this stuff that's going on now. I feel like it would be just freaking chaos. Like,
confusing. Yeah.
Yeah, like it was confusing enough for the folks who were sitting at home to deal with our season, right? And then now you throw in a bunch of fire tokens in there with all new shit that's not going to work or is going to work. And it's like, so you're using that just for a tiebreaker or just in case of a tiebreaker. Like, you could also say, well, all right, so if the two of you are now equal, did any of you win a challenge before? And the person who won a challenge before, tiebreaker, you get it again. Like, I don't know. You could do anything. But yeah, I mean, it's a good point. It's a great point. I like currency in the game. But I don't know that they're going to bring it back. Maybe for a special season.
Yeah, I think it's weird that they were only one and done on them, because that's really not the case like anything else. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. But you know, and especially with them, because like when they find something and they like it and they want it to work, they will stick with it.
Oh, yeah.
As we're seeing.
Right. As you're seeing. You know what? I was shocked, honestly, because I was behind the scenes of our season. I was actually shocked that they let the Hourglass fly on season 42. I was shocked because it was such a scene at Tribal with Danny.
Yeah.
And he was so pissed. And I was so pissed internally because it really fucked up my game. Like, we had to get somebody out on this end. And I was like, I knew it was not going to be me. I was like last person to have to go from that end because I wasn't that much of a threat at that moment. And I felt like, oh my God, I'm good no matter what. But then when she came back and I was like, how I know I'm safe tonight, but that really fucks it all up for me. Yeah. So like, that's, you know, everything plays into the future of the game. And it's just, it's a pain in the ass when you're out there and when you're sitting on this end, like recapping.
So let's, before we jump into the six, I want to talk about Sammy real quick, who was voted out last week at seventh place. We see another shot in the dark be unsuccessful. It's 0-6 now. So for the people who are doing their mathematics, 1-6 shot. Well, it's actually 0-6 right now. We saw Sammy not successfully use it, but we saw him try to use it as part of his strategy. We saw Carla try to tell him, no, trust us, don't play it, whatever. And he's saying, well, my vote doesn't matter anyway, which I thought was a pretty good strategy. But what did you think about the strategy? And do you think that shot in the dark is going to continue to stay around, or is this just kind of useless?
Well, you know what? I like the shot in the dark as kind of like a Hail Mary, because even though it hasn't worked yet, it eventually will hit, right? So it's kind of like a Vegas slot machine. Eventually it'll hit. Wouldn't hit for me, but it'll hit for somebody, right? It's good, like I'm the worst, but like it'll hit for someone. So like they may keep that just because it's a little bit of an added incentive and thought process that has to go into voting. So I don't know that they're going to pull it necessarily, even because it hasn't worked yet. But I thought Sammy did, you know, Sammy was very impressive to me as I played with Xander, who was great. You know, he was great. And Sammy's a very different teenager. Like he presented differently than Xander did. They both did very well, as you know, as we see. And I just think that Sammy's thought process this time was like pretty good for like a teen, and with all the pressure that's on him and kind of knowing he was in trouble with three other people being immune, basically. There wasn't that many people available. I would have used it. So, you know, I think he did a really good job, Sammy. I think he got to where I thought he would get.
He was really impressive.
Yeah. I didn't think he was going to go out early. I didn't quite think he was going to make it to the end. But he did very well. Like he did better than I'd expected to get to that point, put it that way.
Totally.
Yeah, he was a little bit more in control than I thought he was going to be. Like, even if he got far, which I was pretty low on him preseason, but even if he got far, I thought it was going to be because, okay, somebody just bring me with you. Kind of how Will felt a little bit with Jay, even though it wasn't necessarily the case. Xander never had any agency at all in your season. It felt like he was just lost. Once he lost his vote, there was really nothing he could do. Sammy felt very much in control of decisions he was making. And even to his downfall, when he lost the game, he knew it was his fault.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I was saying he's a very poised, calm 19-year-old. Like, I was batshit crazy at 19. I would have been like, oh my God, what's happening? Like, why are you putting me out? I'm so cool. Like he was like very like, all right, you know, it's on me. These players are very nice. It's like this group is just a nice group of people. They're not really like assholes. I feel like every season has a few assholes, and I don't feel like this one really has an asshole.
Kind of doesn't.
You know, like, who would you look at and be like, oh, he's an asshole? Like, not really.
There's like people like being new school villains, but they're not assholes.
But they're not, right. Yeah. They're not like old school assholes. Like, they don't exist, right?
They're not Johnny Fairplay.
No, I'm going to bring the asshole back. So just let the asshole back. Really?
Yeah, thanks. That's for the NSFW. I say Johnny Fairplay and we go immediately NSFW.
Yeah, here, that'll be the tagline for this.
Yeah,
this
we're actually renaming the episode right now, Bring the Asshole Back.
Please bring the assholes back.
That's it.
Yeah, because I could be an asshole. I was very nice in my season, but I don't even know that I was that nice, but I could be a lot not less nice. But anyway, moving on.
And I think that this season... And Alexa and I have talked about this a lot. I feel like there was a period of time where Survivor tried to get away, tried to make everybody like so like perfect and we don't want to show the flaws. And then all of a sudden it'd be like, why are Shannon Ricard being crazy? Like, what's going on here? Like, what do you mean? They were our heroes. And now all of a sudden it felt like it was like two polar opposite the whole time. I feel like if you're looking at this season, I guarantee you that if you piss off any of the six people left in this game, they could absolutely ruin your life by being an asshole. I think that, and I mean that as a compliment, but I think that because we're being shown each and every one of them in their positive lights and their negative lights throughout, I think that is helping a lot where we're not just, I said it last week, Jesse is the villain of this season, but Jesse's probably the favorite to win the game, but he's still a villain.
Yes, I agree with you. Yeah, it's not an asshole. That's a very, very good point. I think that has a lot to do with the editing of how they're showing everybody, right? So they can edit you as just being an asshole the whole time, and then you're the villain, right? Versus letting the natural, organic villain come out, meaning you don't necessarily have to be, you know, the worst person in the world to be diabolical, right? Mm-hmm. But Survivor has this way of showing people, and that's what I think is... what you were saying earlier, it's a very even-keeled like storytelling, and the whole way it's evolved has been very nice to watch and like exciting, and you don't really, it's just very even. I don't know how else to explain it. I feel like everybody's getting speaking time. I feel like everybody's being seen. I don't feel like anybody's like in the background. So I really like that about the season. I think you're right. I think that that's what's showing Jesse as like a villain, but not really. Like, you know, he is sort of the villain. He's like really the puppeteer back there, you know, and he's a gang guy. They are very street savvy and they know how to roll. So he knows how to talk fast and how to make you feel good and he knows how to do this. He had to survive. And so he's really in a really good spot right now. Like, and he is a villain.
He's a lovable villain.
Yeah, exactly. He like loves his family. So it's like really calm and going.
How can you be mad at a guy who loves his little baby?
Yeah.
Like, what?
This villain is who I think is going to be the safest person this week. I think Jesse has two idols. Nobody has ever said his name ever somehow. And even in like this last week, there were only four people who could go home. And pretty much everyone's name came up except for him and Gabler. But he, like, even when there's nobody left, people just don't think to talk to him. And last week was a better interpretation of his game than I think the week before, where he did his like countdown checklist thing. Like, he went to Owen. That was like so gratuitous, but he was talking to Owen and he was like, I don't know why people are leaving you out. And it's like, dude, you're leaving him out. But he said it in a way that was like, yeah, I'm so sorry. I think that was such a testament to how he's playing. I do not see a world in which Jesse goes home this week.
I would have to agree with you. And I would also be sad if he went home. So there's that. Yeah, he's good. He's really, he's really playing great. But you know, I don't know. No, if he goes home, I think everybody would be super shocked.
Mm-hmm. Shocked.
Super shocked.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, and I do know, we saw in the previews that they're running around looking for something. I think there's an idol out there that, mm-hmm. right? Is that, am I right about that?
Mm-hmm.
That they're like going hunting for an idol or something.
Well, that
I think so. Or was that this week?
That was this past one, right? Because they all were looking for the thing that Cody got because they just got told that it was there. So they ran around.
Was it this season? Yeah, it was last week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to Why I Lost Survivor.
But all the previews are, I feel like literally every week the previews are just like, Jesse, Cody, Gabe, or Carla. Bye.
Yeah.
And then like, that's it.
That is exactly. My husband's walking in the door.
Hi.
Hi. So yeah, I think he's in a good spot. I don't think he's going home. He's not my choice. He's not my pick.
Who's your number one though? So if we got to power rank this out, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, who do you have number one as the safest?
Okay. The safest I think is Jesse. Hmm. Right. I would say the second one, Carla still has an idol, right?
He does.
He does.
So
I'll stop you after you say your number two, so we save the suspense. We got to keep people in drama. So just do one and two. Yeah, just do one and two.
One and two safest. I'm going to say Jesse and Cody.
Okay.
Love that.
So I'm also going to – I mean, it's so boring, but I'm going to put Jesse at one, and I'm actually going to put Gabler at two. My thing with Jesse, I mean, we're spot on, right? Like Jesse, he's the safest. He has an idol, probably still has Cody's idol. If they want to try to get him, they're really going to have to blindside him, which I don't know how much more they have left to blindside him.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Tiffany. It would suck to see him go, but then also like part of me really wants chaos. And the only way we're getting chaos is if Jesse is not in the final three. Jesse's in the final three. Jesse's going to win this game and it's over. So I want chaos. I want, you know, I want Rick Devins, but not with Chris winning. That's what I want. I put Gabler at two because I really believe that Gabler has just managed to be so unthreatening to everybody, but also be integral to every single person's plan. And I think that's so impressive. And I don't think it's being talked about that much, like that level of he's not really, he might be a goat to everybody, but he's an integral part of the plan for everybody. He's not just, oh, we're going to drag him because no, he is somebody that every single person out there needs to make things go their way. So I have him at number two, but why do you have Cody at two? What do you think makes him safer than like a Gabler, an Owen, a Cassie, and a Carla?
I think because he's like a bit of a threat to everybody and they want to keep him as a shield.
Hmm.
I'm thinking they're going to use him as a shield. Just maybe one more vote. That's why I'm putting him as the second for this week. I would agree with you. I feel like Gabler is everybody's extra number. Gabler's mm-hmm. like everybody's plus one, mm-hmm. which is a really hard line to toe. So mm-hmm. that's impressive. But I would keep Cody because I feel like Jesse would want Cody as a shield for himself and as a bigger target than himself. So that's why I'm putting him one and two today.
Cody also very well could win another individual immunity. I think he's the person that people think of when it easily. Comes to that.
Yeah, easily. Mm-hmm. I think to win immunity, I think it's between him and Cody, to be honest with you. I mean, Carla's showed up, so I don't know, but
Carla and Owen lead the way with two each.
Yeah, I mean, but Owen's, it's funny because Owen to me is like, still, I don't know why he screams like bottom of the group. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know why, but he does.
I think he's literally screaming that.
He screams yeah. bottom of the
when
group.
When he said that he hasn't voted correctly since Mariah,
I was
absolutely floored. I can't believe that's true.
It's true. It was
insane. That happened on day three. Sammy was voted out on day 21. It's 18 days of being wrong.
And it's a horrible feeling because you know that you have to, if you're going to go to the final and you're getting this far, then what are you going to say? Oh, by the way, I was always wrong. Or, but also you didn't piss off anybody along the way. Mm-hmm. So you could use that, say, that's my strategy. Yeah. I didn't want to piss anybody off. So
But now you were on a season where it seemed like Deshaun definitely started to piss people off at the end of the game. But do you think that people are still really basing their votes on, well, I just like you more than that person? Or is it becoming like, because we don't see the Ponderosas anymore, right? So are the conversations happening more around, this person is playing a really good game, so they deserve my vote? Or is it, that's my buddy, I want them to win the game?
You know, normally I would agree that it can be like a popularity contest at the end. Like, oh, we really love her, we're going to take her, right? This group seems to be very respectful of each other. Oh, well, that was good. Thank you very much. I'm leaving. It was good. You know, you guys got me. Like, good job. Like, you know, I won't get my Tesla, but it's okay because my mother doesn't like them. Like, you know, they're being kind. We walked out. I was like, yep, I love you guys. So you go fuck yourselves. Like, that's how I felt. Like, you're a bunch of fools, idiots, and just want to hate your guts because if it wasn't for you, like, that's how I felt, right? Mm-hmm. I love totally. That. That's how I felt.
Much more James.
Right.
Like, James is ready to go.
Yeah, like you're going out, you're like, you're not saying, oh, thanks, guys. My dreams are completely crushed. And now I'm going to have to pay bills when I get home and I have to go to college. So it's like, great for you guys. But I think, I think that they're almost like respectful of the game more. So that's a little, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is this time, because I feel like they equally all have people that like them. There's been a tit for tat the whole way. So I don't know. I think it could be anybody's game, even at Final Three. I think it's going to be one of those, like, nobody knows who's going to win it kind of thing.
Well, I love that. I hope for that.
And do you think, so Cody and Jesse are in lockstep. You have them at 1 and 2. They really do feel like the favorites to get to the end. Can Cody beat Jesse at this point? And what do you think would allow him to be able to beat Jesse? Because it seems like everybody is on this. Jesse is the one in control because Jesse has been in control. But how can Cody beat Jesse?
It's a great question, but do you still see me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great, because my screen complete. I don't see you guys. Wait, hold on.
Awesome.
This is the weirdest thing. Oh my God. Okay. I'm just going to talk and okay. This is so annoying. I'm sorry.
If you want to figure that out, Phil and I can totally fill dead air.
I'm back.
You're back. You were here the whole time. That's the
you're never on.
That was weird. Okay. What did you ask me?
Why do you think Cody can beat Jesse if he gets the final three against them?
Oh God, that is no. Mm-hmm. I know. I think Jesse will take it if it's him and Cody.
Because
I don't.
You know. Think that people are just seeing Jesse as the mastermind of all of this, or no?
I think that his story, his whole package, pretty much screams like, "We want to see you win." And I feel like when you're out there and you're like invested in people on a different level, like. It's a feel good moment. And it's like, I think that it would be, I think that he might've been a little more, I don't know, because Cody's very well liked I feel like they like him a lot. He's a lot of fun and entertainment, but I think that Jesse's the more serious, like we got to give him $1 million.
I don't.
Yeah.
What do you think?
My biggest concern is I don't think that Cody at a final three could be cutthroat enough to Jesse to get the votes. It feels like I think Cody can be cutthroat if he has to be, but I feel like Cody is much more of an easygoing guy, that it would be kind of that JT Fishbach kind of feeling where it's JT comes at him so hard that Fishbach didn't know how to react. And that's why Fishbach got he was just destroyed.
Yeah.
I feel like that could happen to Cody, where Cody's almost taken aback by, wait, we worked this whole game together. We were side by side talking about what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? And now you're ready to throw me under the bus. I don't know. I think that Jesse would be on the offensive and that would make Cody defensive. And I think that would hurt him.
You know, but if you think about what he does for a living, he's a closer.
That is true.
He's a closer. So don't underestimate the closer. They know how to talk their
he's
way.
He's a salesman. In.
He
can sell ice to an Eskimo. So he may be playing this, you know, Mahalo, like, oh, I'm so Hawaii and laid back. And then he might be like a beast in final, which would be awesome. And if that happens, I mean, and he makes a good enough case for himself, he could win. I just don't know. I don't know. I have to take the temperature of the jury, and I don't know what the temperature of the jury is quite yet. I'm trying to watch them.
They don't show them as much as they usually do. You don't see a lot of them. They don't introduce them. It's like kind of hard to get a
They started that with me. And I mean, it took for like this gigantic thing to land on me for like the camera to be like, hey.
Oh, yeah.
It's a deadly beetle that if it bites you, it's poisonous. But I was like, You're cute. Get the fuck off me. Like, what the hell? I think my plane, my private jet's here. I'm ready to go. Take me off the island. You win. So, yeah. So I think a case can be made for both of them. And I think, you know, the more I think about it, I don't know. Cody's a closer, so he could actually close the deal.
Good point. I hadn't thought about that at all.
Now we shall see, though.
All right. Alexa, who's your number two?
I think Carla is the second safest. And because we're talking about Cody, Cody is my number three. So Carla, I think, is in a great position. Like you said, Phil, Carla has won two immunities, tied for first with Owen, has an idol that apparently is now public information. We kind of just found that out last week. But I think there's only two more episodes or two more votes that they can play their idols. And I think Carla knows that they just tried to drive a wedge between her and Cassidy. I don't really buy that she and Cassidy like aren't vibing, or if they aren't, and that means Carla's number one isn't with her. So that means she needs to use her idol even more. I think Carla's going to be okay. Her name is definitely going to come up because it has been coming up a lot, but she's done a really good job of deflecting that away. And still everybody comes to her whenever they have an idea about something. So I think that's just a really good position to be in, especially when there's only six people left. And for Cody, I don't think Jesse would like turn on him now, because I think if he did, he would keep his idol, and then that would send a very angry Cody to the jury. I also very well think Cody can win an individual immunity. I don't know. This could be a Dom and Wendell thing where Cody and Jesse just never do break up.
Could be Dom and Wendell.
Could be Dom and Wendell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like all those seconds. I like everybody's, we can all agree that's Jesse, right? So it's Jesse and someone. But I would agree with those picks. And
it's
seconds.
7 o'clock.
It's 7 o'clock.
It sure is. It sure is.
What was that?
I don't know.
That was incredible.
Somebody creepy is listening.
Oh, I think that's my computer.
Nice. Why does your computer tell you what time
Never
it is?
Never done that, but it asked me to update something, and then I did see something that said, do you want to be told what time it is? That is creepy. I got
to
cut that.
Like, you bet I do. You really I wanted need to know when that. It's seven.
That's, okay, well, that was Tiffany's warning to be like, I'm off this podcast at seven. If I'm not out of here, her husband's really sitting there right now going, it's 7 o'clock.
That was my husband, by the way. It's 7 o'clock.
Wrap it up. That's unbelievable. Right, Tiffany, who do you have at three? Who would you put right after Jesse and Cody?
I'm going to put Carla. Carla's my three.
That's who I have too.
Mm-hmm. Love Carla.
Yep.
What do you think Carla has to do though? Rather than talk about why she's the third safest, because we know she has an idol, we know she has Cassie. What do you think Carla has to do to actually win the game at this point?
She's got to make sure that I don't know. She's got to lower her threat level. Like maybe say to the guys, listen, I'm only a girl. I'm the only one left. Like, you know, she's got to play it down a little bit and be like, just take me. I know you guys are going to win. Like make herself look, you know, like she's not that much of a threat. I think it's going to be really hard. I think that it may end up being all boys at the end this time. That's my thought. I would love to see her in the final three. But I think she has a lot of work to do because I think the boys might do this like boys, let's, you know, final three together, boys, men thing. And I think with Gabler there, he's going to want to be taken. And I don't know. I think he's like, he can flip either way. I don't know. It's very tough to be Carla right now. She was doing so great and she's in such a great spot. But after this, you know, after the next vote, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, she might have to win. She might have to win, you know, individual immunity and be the one to choose. So I don't know what she has to do, but it's a scary spot when you have a Carla and you have a Jesse and you have a Cody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like if it's me, Jesse and Cody, I'm starting to worry, like, what the hell do I have to do? And it's, again, it's going to be a little bit of luck. Right.
So. And we know that Owen has had no agency here, but if you're Cassidy and you're Gabler and you have to work, you have to work with somebody. So you have to work with these people. Do you think that Cassie and Gabler think they can win against anybody out there? Or do you think that they're just kind of starting to get into that point of, I don't know, I just got to get to the end and see what I can do?
So, I mean, if I'm Cassidy and I'm, you know, Gabler, I'm thinking Cassidy, Gabler, and Owen link up hard and just start striking because A, that'll make it really super fun. And B, that will really determine, that's really going to mess the game up. Like, it's going to mess up all of our ideas of what's going to happen, at least, you know, and give paranoia and, you know, people are going to start scrambling and using idols and all kinds of shit's going to get flushed. So if I'm them, I'm doing that. And Gabler's got nothing to lose with that. Like, I feel like that's two extra votes, like Tim and the two girls, like it's him, Owen and her, that's three, right? So it's kind of like, I don't know, right?
Can you pull a fast one on Jesse?
Yeah, you can really pull a fast one and get someone out that's hardcore. It's not going to be probably if Carla, if it's, you know, you're looking at it with Carla and she hasn't used her idol yet, probably not. But you could do a Cody and you could try to do a Jesse. I mean, it's a hard ask, but it would definitely be something I'm thinking about out there.
Because the hard part is, and they obviously don't know this, but if you're Gabler or you're Cassidy, because again, I'm just throwing Owen as, let's assume Owen's going to be sixth or just have no control over where the vote goes right now. If the final five does come down to Gabler, Cassidy, Cody, and Jesse and Carla, and you're feeling good, right? You're Gabler, you feel like you're in a good spot. You don't know that three idols are going to be played at that tribal council and it's you or Cassidy going home. And there's nothing you can do about it. And same for Cassidy. She doesn't know. So now all of a sudden it really is a 50-50 shot of you going home, even though you think you have a 1 in 5 shot. That's not true.
Right.
And if one of you,
if Cassidy
wins immunity or if Gabler wins immunity, well, guess what? The other one's just gone and there's nothing they can do about it.
Right. Which is such a shitty position. Yeah. That's why the end game is so difficult because there's so much that goes into that, you know, and that's where the luck, I mean, Alexa, we said it before, that luck piece is huge. Like you just, the stars have to all align in the right way for it to play out the way you envision it to play out. Right. And even then it may not play out that way. Right. So it is a really tough, I mean, the final after this week, it's like, this is it. So like, I don't know. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to watch because like, we think we know so much going in because it's still enough people where you can kind of control it. But after this, it's kind of like, you really got to save your own ass. You got to be winning individual immunity every time.
Yeah.
That's the only way you know you're staying, right? Only way is if you have some sort of advantage that you know is going to protect you or you win individual every time.
I almost feel like we're at a point where if you're going to have so many idols still around, because we've seen it a lot and we haven't seen a successful idol play since 40, but you almost have to be making it where the deadline to play an idol is earlier than what they're giving. It has to be final six or something. Just like how Shot in the Dark goes away at 7, idols should go away at 6, 5 should be a regular vote, 4 should be fire. Like if you're going to stick with fire this way, because you get down to that final 5, Cassie and Gabler haven't done anything wrong except they didn't look for the right thing at the right time. And now one of them is going home. That's too much of an ask.
And you even hear Cassidy say that. She's like, I've never had protection. I've never had anything. And I don't really know what the stats are on this, but I feel like a lot of winners recently have always had that, except for like Tommy didn't. But so I think Cassidy's just feeling like very vulnerable. And maybe that's what will link her to Owen if that does happen in this world.
I mean, So we are at Cody, Jesse, Carla, right?
So who do you have it for?
I have, hold on. Let me just look. Cody. All right. So we have Cody, we have Jesse, we have Carla. I think 4 is going to be Gabler.
Me too.
So after all this talk, after everything we've said, Gabler and Cassidy and Owen are the bottom three for both.
They still are the least safe.
They're the least safe, but you don't know what they could pull out. I mean, I think it's safe to say at this point, all right, even this vote, it's kind of like, we don't know what's going to happen with individual immunity and it could be anybody's game. Right. So I think it's safe to say, we know Jesse's going to be safe. Other than that, it's like, you don't know. You really don't. This is our best guesses, but like, what happens if Cassidy wins immunity? Right? Now what? Now who's scrambling to be with who and what's going on? So like it really you have to evolve constantly. It's constant evolving. And you know, we're sitting here going, yeah, this one. And I think we're pretty much on point. And because we've seen this happen many, many times. But maybe this is the season that it's very, very different. Who knows?
Phil, do you not believe? Oh, you had Gabler higher.
I had Gabler at 2 and I have Cassidy at 4. So I'm the highest on Cassidy. And here's where I'm kind of thinking this week's going to go. So I'll spoil myself here. I have Owen at 6. I have Cody at 5. But I do think that if Jesse is worried that Cody is just going to beat him based on likability, based on, you know, he might not know he's a salesman, but just you've gotten to know Cody at this point. You've seen him win immunities. Jesse doesn't have an immunity. That is one thing that works in Cody's favor. Cody has an idol. You have an idol. So now Cody could do this. If Jesse needed to, there is an absolute prime opportunity to get rid of Cody this week if he doesn't win immunity. It is so easy to pull that blind side and have Cody not see it coming. It really would be because he has Carla. Carla would be so willing to do it. Gabler would be like, they'd all be willing to vote out Cody at this point. And Jesse would be the one who I think would have to make that happen. Jesse has shown this entire season, Noelle made him cry, got him the letters, he votes her out. NECA was his island mom, he votes her out. You know, every time he gets really close, he has no problem cutting them out of the game. He's been ruthless and it's great. And that's why I just never feel comfortable for Cody though, because Cody is sharing everything with Jesse, but Cody is also never really seeming to question Jesse all that hard when Jesse won't just go along with what Cody wants to do. Instead, Cody always seems to be saying, okay, Jesse, we'll do it your way. We saw it again last week when it was Sammy. They didn't want to go that route, but like Cody kind of just said, okay, that's fine. And I worry that if that keeps up, which now we're at final six, there's not much time left for it to not keep up. All of a sudden, he says that to Cody. Cody, no, we're going to go this way. I'd rather go this way. And Cody says, okay, fine. That's fine. Cody doesn't think anything about it. And Jesse's going over to somebody else to say, let's vote Cody out of this game because I need to get rid of a threat to win the game. I don't know if I'll actually do it, but it's why I never feel comfortable with Cody, especially since Jesse still has, I think he still has Cody's idol, which is just like so weird.
Do you think though that, all right, if you're Jesse, mm-hmm. are you putting your sights on Cody or on Carla? That's where my problem with what you just said comes in, because I agree with you, but there's Carla, and Carla's like the Jesse of the women. And mm-hmm. Carla's also like the boss. Like there's Jesse yeah. and there's Carla. She's mm-hmm. just working her people and he's working like everybody. But do you say to Cody, let's get rid of Carla now. It's enough is enough. Let's get, she's out like, and blindside her. Or do you keep Carla because you think you can beat her?
I think so. Now, I don't know, because it's so hard to, and Tiff, you know this pretty much better than anybody, but it's so hard to know what do people actually think of you on the island versus what do they actually think of you when they're watching, right? Like, so we all love Carla, and I think everybody on the island loves Carla. That's not what the point of this is. No, like, there might be other flaws to Carla's game that we're maybe not seeing, whereas right now, Cody doesn't seem like he's pissed anybody off. It seems like Cody has gotten away kind of scot-free with every single vote that has taken place on this season. So if that's able to keep going, Jesse's starting to be the hitman here. He's starting to make the moves and be the one in control. The hardest person for Jesse to differentiate his game from at this point is Cody. I think he can differentiate his game from Carla. I don't think he can differentiate his game from Cody.
Yeah, I guess they voted in lockstep every time.
Yeah.
But maybe he thinks he can beat Cody and doesn't.
He probably does. I like to pretend there's drama on a season where.
Well, you know, this very, I think both options are super likely.
And also, you don't know. You've only seen what you see about Cody, mm-hmm. but we don't really know behind the scenes if he has pissed people off and he's annoying. Like, sure. right? So there's that whole other side of that, right? That mm-hmm. we're seeing the edit. There's hours and hours and hours of conversations where Cody might have pissed off people and been like, all right, just let him do. He's like, you know, he's just so laid back, whatever. He'll go with whoever. Like, you don't know that people even think him as a threat. Maybe he's just, Cody just is the layback. All right, he wins shit, but at the end, does he really pull the strings? Not seemingly.
Yeah.
It was Jesse. Mm-hmm. So, like, does he really have no way to differentiate himself? I feel like he does. I feel like he's been the one who finally makes the final call. So, you know, if you're Jesse, here's my feeling. If you're Jesse and you're watching this as Jesse, or you're playing it and you're in the position you're in, I'm feeling like Jesse can easily say, I can beat every single person here.
Yeah, I agree.
Hands
yeah.
down. And so to him, what does he give a shit who he votes out?
Yeah.
Because he's going to win over all of them. That's what I'm feeling with Jesse if he's thinking the way I'm thinking he's thinking.
Now, do you think, though, because I think Carla and Cody have played very strong games, do you think they're thinking the same thing right now, that I can beat anybody, it doesn't matter? You think they're that worried about Jesse anyway?
Carla burns a lot of the girls along the way. Mm-hmm. It's different. It's different. I'm sorry. There's so many girls sitting on that jury, and that mm-hmm. matters. You know, mm-hmm. not so many, but, like, there's girls on that jury, and, like, she's been voting them out along the way, so there's no loyalty there. So yeah. I think she probably pissed off more people than we think. So I don't know that she's feeling that way.
Yeah, okay. James didn't seem thrilled when he was voted out.
He was not happy, right? No. So, you know, so the girls and the guys, but I tend to, you know, when I talk about Survivor, I tend to think of it as a girls thing, because I had a girls thing and I didn't want to do that. It was the last thing I wanted to do on my season. I went in being like, I'm working with everybody, and it ended up being a girls thing because that was what was going to be on our tribe. And so when I view it now, I have a hard time not looking at the girls aspect of it, because the truth is there was no loyalty there, really. It's just two girls left at the end with, you know, at seven. So historically, yes, we've seen that, but did Carla, you know, piss off too many people along the way? Did she burn too many along the way? And Jesse burned them, but they didn't know he burned them.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Because he's still pinning it on everybody else, but making it look like, you know, he's making the move, but everybody else is, you know, in there, and he didn't, I'm good. So he's really playing a very smart game. Listen, he's playing a winning game. He's playing a winning game. Like he's on the track. So if I'm anybody in Survivor right now and I'm getting Jesse the hell out this week. Like, you got to get him out. Like, if you don't want him to take the whole thing. Like, they all thought that about Noelle. Now, I did not agree. I was like, stupid. Why would you do that? There are so many people that are a bigger threat right now. And that is what I never understand about Survivor. Like, even playing it when I was there, I was like, why the frick are we not getting Shan out? Why are we not getting Ricardo? Why are we not getting Deshaun out? What the hell are you all doing? Like, it's this weird thing that happens to you when you're on that island. Like, you feel like you have to protect her. It's the most bizarre thing. But, like, no.
And all I was going to say is, you bring up a good point with Noelle, because we all loved Noelle. And I think Noelle was a really great personality and obviously had that amazing moment. But
what else?
I don't necessarily think you just vote for somebody to win because they're an amputee. Like, that's
I don't think that's what Survivor is. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Like, and it's never played out that way, but that seems like what was in their head when they were making this vote.
And, you know, this is what I was saying. And that was, I said this in the last podcast I did. I said her disability became her ability and made her a liability. Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell? Like, she played the same game the whole way through. Like, she did every challenge as an amputee. Like, she had a great moment, but was she really a threat to, like, win the whole thing because of that? Like, that would mean that, you know, now we're looking at her differently. And that's not the point of this. The point is we're diverse and we accept everybody. Even we know we all have different challenges, right? I might have a mental thing where somebody else has a physical thing. Whatever it is, you're overcoming something. So do we really want to get her out as a huge threat? And the answer to me is no, she wasn't the right person to take out. But Rob and them all were like 100%, she's the right person. Like, you know,
I think Noelle would have been a loyal vote for someone. She's like close. She wanted to play a very loyal game.
Yeah, I think she would have been a great number. So, like, do I think, listen, I get it. At that moment, you want her out because she seems like this great all power. But you're at 8. Like, why? It's not time yet. Like, take a bigger threat out. And I think that that's often where people drop the ball. You make a spectacle of yourself and right away they want to throw you out.
Yeah. Well, and going to that Noelle point, Noelle had a great challenge performance there. Noelle wasn't very good in the rest of the challenges. It's almost like a Ceree thing, right? Nobody in Game Changers was ever going to let Ceree sit at final three. She was never going to get, there was nothing Ceree could do unless the final challenge was just a puzzle with no physical element. Ceree had no chance of getting to final three because she is a threat. But Noelle, to me, look at her at final six, look at her at final five. Don't let her get to fire making, because now if she wins fire making and then she sits next to you, then that's a little worrying. But why get rid of her at 8 instead of trying to break up an alliance? And I think that's been the worst part of, not the worst part about this season, but maybe like the one thing that's being overlooked, and we saw Gabler and Carla have this conversation that amounted to absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of very obvious pairs on this season. Yes. Why are we voting out? The word of the season is agency. When Jesse said that about Cody, Why are we voting out the person with no agency? Noelle could do nothing on this
season.
And you're going to have plenty of opportunity.
I was dead. I could do nothing. Yeah. That's exactly the point. I don't get it. And you see it time and time and time again. Yeah. It's like they're afraid. What happens is people get very afraid. They're afraid. If I break up your pair, you're going to come after me next. It's a game of fear. So it's a fear-based decision. And that is what this actually amounts to. It's playing out of like the fear of not getting to the next stage because you've screwed somebody up. But the truth is that's what Survivor is. And if you can do that and do it well and do it at the right time, then you're really going places. To me, Noelle was not a great choice last week for many reasons. But number one being, look who's sitting at the 7 right now.
Yeah.
Look at this. Like, good luck. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. You know, you kept Cody in, you kept this one in, you kept Gabler in, who's a loose cannon too. Like, there's a lot of other people that were a little bit more threatening in my book.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt about it. Yeah.
And it almost feels like Noelle was, it was clear why Noelle was a threat, right? The moment she stepped on the island, we saw this happen with Kelly Bruno back in season 21. It was, okay, this makes her a threat to win the game. But by getting so caught up in that, it was being missed. Okay, what's making Jesse a threat to win the game? What's making Cody a threat to win the game? It might not be as obvious.
But it's there.
But it's there. And that's every winner of Survivor. Marianne did not have an obvious thing that made her a threat to win the game, and yet she won the game. Erica, same thing. And I feel like Noelle's was obvious, but it's the same thing when people turn around and say Adam Klein only won because he started talking about his mom who was dying of cancer, or Jeremy only won because he talked about his kids. That's not true. They were going to win in a landslide no matter what. That just happened to also be a part of their story.
Right.
Noelle, it feels like that was the situation, but I felt like Noelle was going to lose in a landslide if she got the final.
I did too. I didn't feel like she was kind of like, she was her person. She could have been a villain too, actually. She had that little bit of brazenness to her that I felt like she could have like been a little bit more of a villain. And maybe that was, you know, maybe it was coming. Maybe that was what she needed, but then it was over, right? But the point is, yeah, I agree with you. Like, it's just, it's kind of like, it's very hard sitting on the other side watching it because everybody, again, and I'm going to say it because I was there. I know what it felt like. It is fear-based. Yeah. So many people are afraid to fucking piss somebody off that they're like, no way, not doing it, not today. And I was throwing myself at Xander to speak to him. And he was so afraid to talk to me before that vote. He didn't speak to me all day. And I couldn't get him. Wow. It was ridiculous. And it's because they don't want to be, oh my God, Jimmy, it was supposed to be Evan. Now it's going to be you. Yeah. And you're linked to me. And so, yeah, you know, and I get it. I get it why he was like avoiding me. Now I get it. But like, it being out there, it is very different than what we imagine when we see the edit being put together, right? Yeah. And so you have the fear. Fear is a very, very, very big part of it. You're very afraid to make people at that moment. You're just looking to get to the next stage. You don't even care how you do it as long as it's not me.
Yeah.
So it's it doesn't even have to make sense sometimes. That's the part.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing that a little bit on this season where it's not necessarily making sense for somebody's game, but they're doing it anyway. Which leads to, even though we've talked about this like crazy and said, okay, why are we getting rid of Noelle? That didn't make sense. Then we got rid of Sammy, who had no agency. And now I put Owen at last. Lex and Tiffany, you both have Cassidy and Owen as your bottom two. What order do you put them in?
Go
ahead, Alexa, you first.
I think I'm going to say Cassidy at 5 and Owen last, even though I don't really know why they would get rid of Owen, but we just talked about why they got rid of Noelle. So they've clearly done it once. The reason I think Cassidy is a tiny bit safer is because she and Carla do still have each other, but I have her at the bottom because, like she said, she's never had an advantage, and I hate to like put all my eggs in that basket, but at this point right now, if you don't have an advantage, then you aren't going to... you're going to be in a lot more danger than literally half the people left. She has won an individual immunity. She very well could do it again. And I think like fans are seeing her as this gigantic threat, but somehow the players aren't, which is really, really impressive. So even though I have her low, I do think she'll find a way to sneak it out. And that could be like her big moment going into the final.
I'm with you. I have her as 5 and him as 6.
See, so we all end up going with Owen at 6, even though Owen feels poor like guy. There's nothing he can do in this game, and yet they're not going to try to do anything to mix it up. Why, though? Because we know that he's voted wrong consistently. We know he's been very frustrated. We know that people aren't, like, seeing him as necessarily a good player right now because he's not doing anything necessarily right. Why are they going to vote him out at Final Six instead of getting rid of any of the other five who I think have a better chance of winning the game than he does?
I don't know. I don't know, but I feel like whoever has idols left, it's almost like it just happens to be what's going to happen because of who wins the final, the immunity, and who has what advantage, yeah, and who's on the table to be voted out. That's really the only reason.
There's not many options.
Yeah, because I'm kind of keeping Owen if I'm out there personally. I'm just looking at them as their players. But if it's me, I'm keeping Owen because I feel like leaving me is a number. Like he's a good number for me. Like, let's keep him. Let's keep Cassidy. I'm taking the stragglers, right, in my head, if I'm out there. But that's not how they're thinking, and that's not how they've been voting. So they're voting really kind of like people – all the people that have been taken out, it's almost like in this last few were like kind of, like why? I would have taken bigger hits. But that's how you end up with a winner who you're like, I can't believe that person won.
Yeah.
Because of what they're not doing this season. Mm-hmm. That's why I like it. Mm-hmm. Because at the end, you might actually get somebody who, not that I'm saying that people haven't deserved to win, but everyone's always like, what the fuck had that person win? Mm-hmm. Well, they played a smart game. They knew how to play under the radar. But you know what? People get tired of seeing that, and they're starting to want to see somebody who played win, right? Yeah. And that's how you do it, by taking out these non-threats.
Now, so you're both in agreement then, if Owen were to win immunity, because he's won it twice, if Owen were to win immunity again, it's Cass going home?
I think so, because I still think like Owen would need to use Gabler, and Gabler and Owen like still have this weird kind of thing going on. Jesse and Carla are completely safe with their idols. Then it just falls on either Cody or Cassidy.
And Cody would probably have an idol if Jesse
gives it back.
They need to talk about that because that is a gigantic question mark that has now been like a month long. And I like, is he going to give it back or is he not? And why has Cody not asked is probably the larger question.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Why did Tiffany give back Xander's shit? Because she's not.
There you go.
Of all,
even Tiffany doesn't know.
What the? Another stupid ass move. Like, why? Why didn't I just keep one thing? Because my brain wasn't working. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to be so nice on stupid ass. because I was afraid people were going to be like, how do you do that? That's such a shitty thing to do. But you know what? I would do it now. Mm-hmm. I would do it now. Because it's like badass. Like, you're not getting it back, dude. Like,
well, when you come back on assholes versus not assholes, then you can do it then.
And Tiffany's the only one on the asshole tribe. Everybody else is dead.
One gigantic asshole.
Yeah. 1v17.
I'll have asshole island. They'll just put me on my own island.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Leave me there for final six and then bring the asshole in. Oh, yep. I'm here. I'm ready to make
I'm here. With two statues of your head. Instead of having one of two different people, it'll be two of you.
This is where it gets totally inappropriate, and then I go off the rails. This might have been the most, like, appropriate I've ever been on a podcast. Just so
you didn't have to be.
But yeah. I was.
Yes.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
You've done great.
Alexa and I bring out the best in everybody, and as soon as this is over, we're F-bombing everyone. So.
We'll turn this off in a few minutes.
So, Tiffany, who do you hate the most out of the final six? No, just kidding. Before we let you leave, we've talked a lot about Jesse. Is that your winner pick for the season? Yeah.
Yeah.
If it wouldn't be Jesse, it would be Carla, but I'm going with Jesse. God. And I'm going with Jesse because I teach students that are all, this is their like background, their, you know, gang kids, their kids that are in juvie. And this is what I do all day long. And I would love for him to pull it out for them. So
I
have to go Jesse.
Yeah. It's a great story. It's almost being ignored how great his story is just because of how obvious it's starting to look that he's going to win.
Yeah.
That's what scares me.
Right?
Yeah. I saw him tweet something a few weeks ago that was like, I think he's someone that he knows is in prison and said that like everyone is watching, hoping for him to win. And I was like, that is crazy cool. Like, that's really special.
Awesome. I would love to be in that. But because, you know, the truth is a lot of people that are, you know, not all, but in prison for things that like he might have done or, you know, been kind of caught up in that life where, you know, they started with a leg down in life and like there are so many interesting, wonderful people. And even though they're, you know, they fell on hard times, they're some of the, like my students are some of the best, like good hearted people I've I've ever encountered. And they're just super like wanting for everybody to get good things. It's because that's what they want for themselves. Right. And they have fell upon hard times, even at this young age, but like, so that you have that whole support of everybody. It's just, it's super cool. I would love to be like a video camera in there and on the night of finale and just watch, you know, the reaction. That would be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's see. Let's do it for the Juvie.
Let's see. Only two more weeks.
Yeah, we're almost done.
We're almost done. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for joining us. Like we said earlier, very glad that we were able to make this happen. I know we've been chatting on and off a lot. And it's one of those things where timing never worked. And here we are, though. Final six. We'll see how on the money you were with everything.
Well, good luck. Good luck. For those of you who are listening, I am never on the money.
Never.
ever.
So we brought her on to make us sound like we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Disclaimer.
We are going to be live a little later than usual. I have an event, so luckily YouTube TV can record the episode. So we're probably going to be live like 10 or 10:30 p.m. Eastern. For those of you who are going to be tuning in after the episode, make sure to become a patron, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. We have a lot of exciting stuff coming up. Anything I missed, Phil? Anything?
No, I think you're good.
Thank you so much, Tiffany, for coming on. This was fun. And don't be an asshole, everybody. Have a great night.